come on, we come on.
Ready.
Y'all ready?
They ready.
We ready.
We ready.
We ready.
Royal.
Come on. We ready. Come on.
We ready.
Come on. Break bread, folks.
We
break
ready.
Folks. Break bread, folks.
We
break
ready.
Bread, folks. Come
we
on.
Ready.
We ready.
Royal.
Going out to Colorado State today, smelling the grass. I tapped in, by the way. Your Jay Norvell has a new thing. Well, it's his thing. They got a big sign out there. As soon as you walk into practice, Jades, it says, today we play the Ramway, and all the players and coaches, everybody that's involved, you have to run in through the gates and tap it. And that means you're tapping in, you're checking in, you're ready to go. And so I asked if I could... If that was all right, then I went ahead and did it and tapped in. Now, these football players are like aggressively, because it's one of those signs that does this thing. You know, you hit it and it falls back like the Bop It. They were like slamming it. And I'm like, that thing's not going to last the year, bro. That's not. So I just went up and gave it a little tap. Very fun. Football season is here. Hall of Fame game last night. Okay. Susan and Cheryl, you're... Do we have to give them a raise, by the way, since we started 3 hours on Monday, 11 to 2? I don't know. They're probably asking. Have they said anything about it? It's awkward.
Yeah, I told them that they need to go meet with you about it. Okay. They've been asking me, but...
I'll just tell them. They'll forget about it before too long. It's fine. They're even pumped, though. Hall of Fame game last night. Did you watch any of it, Jades? I mean, a little bit? A little bit of it?
No, I was working.
I was going to say, you're probably watching a baseball game. Probably watching, like, I don't know. The Rays or something. Go at it.
Yeah, I was watching the Baltimore Orioles. You know
oh,
me.
Oh, man. I know you. I know you.
Oh, wait. No, it was just the Rockies. My bad. Sorry. The Orioles and the Rockies look
similar.
The
Rockies won. Hey. They did. They must have. I think they were like, dude, football season's starting. Everybody, no one's paying attention anymore. So let's go finish this up the right way. It feels like they played the Padres like 600 games this last 4 days, man. They've played a lot of baseball games against the Padres. I'm glad that series is over. Wow. We'll get to more of that. You know, Kyle Freeland was fantastic, but popped out to CSU today, bright and early. I love it that way. I'm up early anyway. If you're going to do it, if you're going to get the day tackled, man, you got to start early. I'm one of those guys. By 1 o'clock, though, I'm spent. So, 6:55 was when practice, well, I guess 7 o'clock, but we were allowed to get in at 6:55. Me and my guy, Kevin Lytle of the Colorado, were the only other media guys there today. But they do two sessions. So they have the ones and the threes in the first session, and then the twos and the three, and then the twos and the fours come out for the second session, and then after that they do their media stuff. So I obviously have to get back here ready for the show. So I was just able to pop out and see a few things. Clay Millen is going to be a stud. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but that's the guy. They're building around this guy, a true freshman. You know, they believe in this kid, and we do too, by the way. We're going to have the Clay Millen show every single week, starting up in a couple of weeks, actually. Going to Torrey Horton, tons of great receivers. Man, I mean, the list goes on and on of the excitement factor for Colorado State. You know, what's this going to... It's funny, my guy, Mike Brohard, he was a media guy. Now he works for Colorado State. Excellent dude. He was asking me this question, though. He's like, who do you think... Do you think that CSU... Or I guess he was asking Kevin, too. Do you think that CSU is going to have... 1,000-yard receiver this year? Is that or is it going to be so spread out that maybe you don't see one guy that just dominates the stat sheet? And I suppose if we're all going to agree here, if they are going to have a 1,000-yard type receiver, it's going to be Torrey Horton. And he's one of the other transfers from Nevada that came over. This is what's so nice about the transfer portal. I mean, you're seeing guys that are ready to go. I mean, this is not going to be... This long process of, you know, everybody trying to figure out what Jay Norvell's system is, his leaders and prime assets are dudes that already know his system. So you're going to have some guys learning it, you know. Tanner Arkin, tight end. My gosh, dude. Fort Collins, he's Fossil Ridge, so he's local. 6'5", 245 pounds. He has gotten bigger since spring. even. What did he say? What did Tim Cassidy tell us, Jades? I think you were out that day. Tim Cassidy's the kind of the AD for football specifically. I mean, I don't know if you want to call it that, but kind of like an overseer of things, a manager almost. And he said, you're going to be shocked when you get out there from seeing the difference from spring ball to fall. And Tanner Arkin is jacked, dude. He's on the preseason watch list, by the way. I think he was the only tight end listed. But he is jacked. 6'5", 245 pounds. You know, I don't get to see a lot out there. You know, you get to see very little as far as formations go. I mean, the reason I go out there is to get the vibe. I like to, you know, take a couple of pictures, whatever. But you get the vibe. And, dude, Jay Norvell runs everywhere. He's got this, like, perfect upright gait, by the way. You know, like, the way he runs looks like it's on purpose. And I know these are weird little things to nitpick, and I'm not nitpicking. These are actually good. He just looks like everything that he does, he's going to do it to perfection. He kind of he just reminds me of, you know, those old sports movies where you just see these coaches that are perfect. Everything they do when they get up in the morning, the way they get ready for the day, they get their exercise in, they get out to practice, they run everywhere, they're efficient, everything is calculated and written down. Everything he does is on purpose, man. So this is going to be a lot of fun. He's great. He walked right up to us. He's like, thanks for being out here, guys. Then he sprints away. there he goes. He's so fast. He's got his gas station shirt on because he's like, it's go to work time. I like that. A lot to like about this guy. But a couple of formations they were running today were not perfect. And Norvell's, he can get after him a little bit. You know, I'm waiting. You know, you do want to see those sides. Like Steve Adazio, day one, you meet him and you're like, yeah, that guy probably rips dudes to shreds. Mike Bobo, I've seen it. I saw McElwain do it. Jay Norvell, you're wondering, all right, is he kind of a player's coach kind of guy, or can he get after it? Yeah, pretty quick into practice. You know, they'd be in formations, just routes that weren't ran the right way. He'd stop the practice and he'd scream out there and be like, that's not right. That is not right. And then he'd go up and show them exactly. So fun today to get out there, ready to rock and roll. I'm going to try to get out every week to CSU. I need to get out to UNC practice as well, as they started yesterday. Man, it's go time, isn't it? It's a great time. I'll be curious to see how it all works out for Colorado State this year. Again, did I learn anything today? Did today tell me that this team's going to be better than they were last year? No. You're not. I'm not going to learn that necessarily until game one, and that's against Michigan. So probably game two. Who they got? Middle Tennessee. So this is all just learning about the coaches. You know, at some point we're learning about more players. We'll be bringing more players on to talk to them throughout this process. But, man, it's good to get out and about. Absolutely. Jades, we need to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Let's get to my good story here first, Jades. I mean, August 5th, we're knee-deep into football talk, and I get it. But hey, the Rockies got a dub, and the only time they're winning now is when Kyle Freeland goes to the mound. He was good and lucky yesterday. He had some luck that helped him out, but he was kind of a strikeout machine yet again.
There's strike three on Profar. And Kyle, back-to-back strikeout. Kyle's got the strikeout pitch working. There's another strikeout. So they had to remove him to get the deal done, as Myers has got another strikeout for Kyle. Strike three on Drury. Swung on and missed.
Solid outing by Mr. Freeland yet again. There's a coverage presented by our courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet. The Rocks win and finally turn the page on that terrible, terrible Padres series. The bad for me, and it's not really bad, I guess, but it was a little curious that Josh Jacobs played in the Hall of Fame game last night. Raiders beat the Jags 27-11. Absolutely means zero, but Josh Jacobs, who is the back, is their premier back, and, you know, he's one of the reasons we had a debate, at least, about who has the best running back core or situation in the AFC West. Josh Jacobs had 5 carries of 30 yards. You didn't see Derek Carr. You didn't see Davante Adams. You didn't see a lot of their studs playing in this game. But you saw Josh Jacobs. So I was just a little shocked by that. You got to be careful in this situation. And Josh McDaniels, you seeing him in his Raiders gear? It's kind of disgusting, isn't it? Let's move on to the ugly. Speaking of Josh McDaniels, friend of his, Tom Brady. Missing, and this is ugly because you just wonder what's going on. Tom Brady missing from second straight Buccaneers practice due to a personal matter. According to CBS Sports, for the third straight day and the second straight practice, there was no sign of Tom Brady at Buccaneers training camp on Friday. He had a scheduled rest day on Wednesday along with other veterans. Tampa Bay did not hold practice Thursday, a day later, and Brady was still a no-show on the field, with the Bucs later announcing an excused absence due to a personal matter. So nobody really knows right now. It's unclear. Again, according to CBS Sports, Brady did not dispute any of the reports about off stuff or anything like that. He just said it's a personal matter. Hasn't really talked much about the Miami connection either, and people are really wanting to talk to him about that. So do you think that he's like, and again, if something serious is going on, I hope all is well and okay. But there's a part of you, I'm just saying it, I'm a radio guy, I'm going to say it, it's in the back of your head. Is there a part of you that was like, are they just giving Brady a few days to get away from this so he doesn't have to hear, he'll get the questions anyway, but about Miami and all this stuff? Did they want him to get away from it so he could figure out how best to respond? I don't know. Just a thought. And again, if something crazy is going on or sad or tough times for him, then you just obviously hope whatever that situation is works out for the best. We got a lot to get to today. CSU Athletic Director Joe Parker is going to join me. He just signed a 5-year extension with Colorado State. And yesterday I talked a bit about this and maybe a lot of pressure on him. Although the contract's already good, the ink is dry, but you still, from the fans' perspective, a lot of stock is going into what Jay Norvell can do. This seems like a home run by Joe Parker. How much pressure's on Joe, though, to make sure that this thing gets right? So we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. He'll be calling the show right after noon, and we'll have fun talking to him, man. I always have a good conversation with him. 18 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Let's get it rolling here on a Friday. Jets football is back, folks. Preseason football, fall camp, it's all ready to go. Let's rock and roll.
Mike Pritchard, weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around.
Let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
Which one's your favorite? Oh, they're so good. All of them are good. I love them. I was watching Good Morning Football this morning on NFL Network. Fantastic program. They were going all in on this Let's Ride thing. In fact, one of their debates this morning was, should guys like Keenan Allen be able to use it like that? Is this now Russell Wilson saying? And they were just going off about how this is viral now, and it's taken off. It's taken hold for Broncos country, and it really has. This, I mean, I know my guy Tanner, he hates it. But this is what you want. The morning show that's all things NFL has barely, over the last 6 years, barely talked about the Broncos. Like, you're not going to hear much about the Broncos over the last 6 years on the national programs. But because of Russell Wilson, you're actually getting some coverage. Meaning they're talking about all the other players, too. That, you know, when the Tim Patrick news hit, that was big news nationally now. And the Let's Ride stuff that he's doing, all of that, he's coming into Denver and flat out owning that he is the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. But the I can't think of her new, it's the new host of Good Morning Football. She wrote back, or she was talking back, and she's like, no, Let's Ride started like, what, 20 years ago? From this scene with Nicolas Cage.
Okay, let's ride.
So did Russell steal that from Nicolas Cage? Here it is. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Always here, you have Aaron Rodgers shows up and looks just like Nicolas Cage. From Raising Arizona, pretty much. I think that was who he was trying to look like. Russell Wilson's using a phrase from Nicolas Cage in the movie Gone in 60 Seconds. Is that what's going on here, Jades? Are we just trying to find as many connecting points to the Nicolas Cage as we possibly can? Oh, that's great. I forgot about that line, though. Did you ever see that movie Gone in 60 Seconds? No? You probably don't need to go back and see it. You probably are all right. There's movies that I would tell you, make sure you check these out. You know, I know you're younger, but that one you could probably leave alone. But, dude, I love it. I think there's a lot of people that go with the corny route, that it's Let's Ride and all that stuff. But, dude, wouldn't you think, isn't it fair to say that Russell Wilson's kind of got the marketing thing down? He could come to Denver and just be Russell, and it'd still be exciting. But then he slaps on this, Let's Ride, and let me do like 6 or 7 takes, see which one hits, and away we go. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But they're talking about it. You got Keenan Allen in warm-ups during Chargers camp talking about it. Building on to this, you know, intense rivalry that's about to really take hold in the West. You know the West is, I mean, that's the best division in all of football. They all went out and upgraded so that they could beat Patrick Mahomes. And now they're looking at Russell, paying attention to what Russell's doing. The Broncos weren't on anybody's radar before Russell Wilson got here. I mean, this thing is going viral. And it's not just Russ. It's the Let's Ride. It's all like the whole thing that came with Russell Wilson coming to Denver is awesome. You know, him and Sierra, her being as popular as she is, his popularity through the NFL, and then his sayings and all some would say it corny, whatever, all those kind of sayings that he has. Some would disagree, and I like it. It's all good, man. It's fantastic. And I guess he just lit it up yesterday. You know, him and Cortland Sutton, they're starting to get a little bit of a chemistry. And this is what you see in camp, right? You see defenses usually take hold in the first week. And we talk about how good the defense is and go, oh boy, what's going on here? And then as the offense starts to really get the lingo down and they start to remember everything that they've been going through OTAs and such, they start to click. And then you start to see Russ gel with his teammates. And this is all about that process right now. It's about gelling with your entire offense. You know, be it your offensive line, your wide receivers, your tight ends, running backs, whatever. Russell Wilson is in that process right now. And the whole Let's Ride stuff, man, enjoy it. This is unlike any you Broncos country, dude. You guys, I'm part of it, we get lucky. You get Peyton May, you get John Elway, and you're spoiled rotten. John Elway, one of the greatest to ever do it. And then you go through some bad years. Brian Greasy and Danny Cannell and Steve Berline, and Jake Plummer was kind of a nice moment 3 years of Jake Plummer. That was kind of cool, but it wasn't. You guys still like complained about that too. Not everybody was in on the Jake Plummer stuff, even though he took the Broncos to the playoffs every year he was a starting quarterback. And then you get Russell Wilson. Or no, then you go dark ages after Jake Plummer really struggled. You know, the Jay Cutler stuff wasn't working out. Kyle Orton. I mean, just go on. The list between star quarterbacks for Denver is long. And I think you throw Jake Plummer into that cat. Like, when you're looking at this, Jades, and you say, okay, who were the top four since 1990, top four quarterbacks for the Broncos? It's Elway, Manning, probably going to be Russell Wilson, and then Jake Plummer. But in between all of those guys, yeah, you had some dark times. Not as dark as a lot of teams have had. There's a lot of teams that have a guy, and then they go away for a long time. Can't find that guy. So Denver goes six years after Manning. It's bad. Missing playoffs, losing records, terrible laughing stock. And enter Russell Wilson, and you still have a contingency of fans that's getting hung up on the cheese ball factor. Enjoy it, man. I get up early every morning. I watch Good Morning Football every morning. And I do not remember, 2 days in a row now, Broncos have been the highlight. Part of the highlight. You know, obviously this morning we're talking a lot of Hall of Fame game, but Russell Wilson's Let's Ride was a topic of discussion. Yesterday it was, should they go after free agent? Should they be looking at Odell Beckham Jr.? Should they be getting aggressive in the wide receiver free agent market? The day before that was obviously Tim Patrick. So I don't remember Denver dominating one of the most beloved national football type shows in the country. So enjoy it. You got a spotlight on your Broncos now. And whether or not you're ready to ride or whatever you're saying, whatever you think the saying should be, he is now marketing it. And you know, Jades, there's going to be t-shirts just all over the place with Let's Ride or Broncos Country. Let's Ride. 32 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame game. What was your takeaway from that? And is it almost disrespectful to honor your Hall of Famers with the Hall of Fame game? That's the first preseason game. It's the least meaningful preseason game of all of them, yet this is the game that we use to draw major attention to the current Hall of Famers. Let's talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
That's what I like about when you pull in to practice, when I headed out this morning, even though it's early, they've turned down the speakers a little bit, but you are just greeted with, maybe it's Metallica, maybe the next song is, I don't know, name a rapper, Jades, name a rapper, because I was going to say Snoop Dogg, but I don't think he's really relevant anymore, so name a rapper.
Lil Baby.
Yeah, Lil Baby is playing, or...
No, Lil, not little, Lil.
What's that? Like, who? All right. Like, why? Why? I'm assuming this rapper is a grown man.
Yes. What about Lil Uzi Vert?
What is that even? What is that? Sounds like mucus of some kind. Am I old, Jades? Am I old? Is that what has happened? Like, Snoop Dogg was an interesting name, but I kind of got it, you know? I get it. I don't know.
Lil Wayne.
And he kind of started that thing. Lil Wayne and that Lil Baby and Lil Snoop and Lil Uzi or whatever. I don't know. But I just like pulling in to practice and you hear the speakers going. And I like it because, you know, there's players on that roster from all walks of life. Some guys grew up country music fans. Some guys rockers. Some guys rap guys. So I could tell when Matt Mummy, the offensive coordinator, is hitting the playlist, because you're getting a lot of the old, you know, 2000s rock, 90s rock. But I like the mix, man, and it's just so fun to get out there and see what this team's about and learn a little bit more about them in this process. So can't wait. Glad it's rolling. Glad it's starting. We had the Hall of Fame game last night. Jade, you were asking me in prep today. You're kind of like, why is it the Hall of Fame game? Well, it's the Hall of Fame game. They do the Hall of Fame ceremony, obviously, coming up, and it's supposed to kind of lead into that busy, busy weekend. And I guess I look at that, and you want the weekend to honor your Hall of Famers. That's who, I mean, the NFL covets the Hall of Fame. You know, that's why I said, like, they let a lot of people in, maybe that shouldn't be in, whatever. But they love their Hall of Fame. Isn't it kind of strange that the Hall of Fame game, though, to honor your Hall of Famers, is a preseason game? And it's the most meaningless preseason game. And maybe it's the most watched because it's the first one and it's the only one for the weekend. And then because we don't have preseason for the Broncos until next weekend. So I get it. It's probably the most watched collectively by the nation. But why not have this, maybe not week one, because you got week one activities that's going to floor you for a while. Why not do this like week four on a Monday night game or something where it's, we're really putting the spotlight on Tony Boselli and Cliff Branch and Sam Mills and Leroy Butler and Richard Seymour and Bryant Young, all the Hall of Famers this year, the players anyway.
Well, and move the ceremony too.
Like do it during the game, like at halftime or what?
Maybe. I was thinking more like a Thursday night game, and then you have the ceremony Saturday, and then regular.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's what they do.
Yeah. But like I was thinking, like if you do that, but during the regular season.
Right. Yeah. That would be cool. You know, why can't you have one of the regular season games? And again, you'd have to have teams give up home field, but have it in Canton or do it like they do, like they did last night, but have it at a neutral site because you don't want to give that to the Browns, right? I guess you could make that a home game, but then the Browns would always get the kind of the home cooking somewhat because they're close enough. But why not make, I mean, you got your London games going on. Why not make this a neutral site game between two elite teams, like a good schedule, draw some attention to that? Because it was cool. I mean, during the broadcast, you're hearing all the players and all the guys getting on and talking and interviewing with Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. And that's cool. It's special. But, I mean, how many people really watched the whole game? I did. But I bet you a lot of people were done because it was a blowout. It wasn't even like it was a good game. I mean, UNC guys got to see Kyle Sloter go out there. But, I mean, there wasn't a lot to really take from it other than it was just preseason game and football's going again. I just wonder how many people after halftime kind of shut her down. And then you heard a lot of the other player interviews in the second half. So, yeah, I've always kind of wondered why this wasn't given more of center stage where we're really, if we love our Hall of Famers as much as the NFL does, and I know they do, they respect them, then why not highlight them in a regular season game? Like, maybe not do it a Monday night. Maybe do a Thursday night game, but it's like a marquee matchup between two teams that we all think is going to be a playoff team. But instead, we've got, it's the Hall of Fame game. It's a preseason game. It's, you know, you're not seeing Derek Carr out there. You're not seeing Trevor Lawrence out there. You're not seeing Devontae Adams. You're not seeing a lot of the studs that you would see. So why not honor these? And I get it. The NFL doesn't need to do that. That's the thing. The NFL, everything they do is on purpose. You know, everything that they, how they plan it out, they don't need the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Famers, to help with their ratings. I don't necessarily believe that if you're telling me that Thursday night game between the Bills and the Chiefs needs any help from Hall of Famers, they don't. I don't think you're really going to attract, oh, well, I wasn't going to watch two of the best teams in the AFC, especially after last year's playoff game, but now that Richard Seymour is getting retired or getting inducted, I'm going to watch now. So the NFL knows exactly what they're doing. Preseason doesn't do a lot for us, but let's create all these festivities around a preseason game. That'll make it interesting. And again, it's genius. But if you really wanted to honor your Hall of Famers, have a big Thursday night kind of deal, then lead into Saturday, but do it during the regular season. So I agree with you. I do. It is kind of bizarre to me that the Hall of Fame game honoring the greatest players to ever do it kind of is just a part of the first preseason game of the season. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Earlier this week, late last week, it was announced that Joe Parker signed his five-year extension with Colorado State. The question is simple. Are you happy that Colorado State signed him to the five-year deal? Getting a lot of votes on this one. It's going back and forth. It was 60% yes. It's now 56% no. Hooligans are saying no. They're not happy. I'm just curious as to why. Go ahead. Give me the why you're not happy. I'm not saying you're wrong. Is it because of the Larry Eustace stuff? Is it because of the Steve Adazio stuff? Is it because of Mike Bobo's extension that never worked out? And if it is, I'm just going to tell you. You might have wanted him gone. Maybe he needed to be gone at one point in time, but he was given enough time to right the ship. He did that with basketball. Nico Medved has been huge for Colorado State. Just absolutely huge. This basketball program is headed in the right direction, and even without David Roddy next year, this team should be pretty good. He's personable. He's knowledgeable. He's likable. He's a great head coach so far. Then you screwed up with Steve Adazio big time, but he recognized it fairly quickly, didn't he? I mean, he could have. I was one of them, Jades. I certainly thought Joe Parker was going to keep Adazio around one more year, and I'm not saying I even disagreed with that. I kind of like this set the precedent of, okay, I got to give a coach 2 to 3 years. 2 to 3. And given the fact that one of those years was COVID, maybe it is easier to justify giving him one more year. But that couldn't have worked. We all know it. When he got kicked out, that's when I really thought, okay, I don't think this is going to work, man. I wasn't optimistic anyway, but I was still kind of staying to the, hey, you got to give him a full run here. But when he got kicked out of the game against Nevada, and then he's up in the podium doing this stuff, we're this close. It's a viral CSU video anywhere, or clip. We're this close. And how many games did they win? 3? And so when you say stuff like that, everybody goes, well, you're not this close. At least acknowledge that you're not that close. And then if people did call him out, it was, well, you don't know about football. You don't know anything about football. So, I mean, Parker could have let that simmer, and I think that, you know, if you really think about it, how coaches are hired and fired in college football, you could have easily made a case for him getting one more year. You could have. Like I said, I was there until it got kicked out. Then I realized, all right, it's not working. But he moved on. Got it done and turned it around rather quickly and got the guy that came into Canvas Stadium and beat the hell out of Adazio's Rams. That's kind of a gangster move, isn't it? Nevada's within the conference. Am I using that term correctly? Nevada's within the conference. Norvell's turned things around with the Wolfpack. They're pretty respectable now in the conference. He comes into Fort Collins, beats the hell out of CSU, frustrates Adazio so much to the point that he gets kicked out of the game. Parker's thinking in the back of his head, okay, Adazio's probably gone. Maybe we just go get Jay Norvell. It's very rare, especially in the Mountain West, for a coach to just stay within the conference and jump over and jump ship. You bring Jay Norvell in, and he brings all of his guys in, and man, wow. I did not see that coming, Joe. I didn't see it coming. I was thinking, okay, here we go again. We got a search party. We're going to bring Urban Meyer back to town. We're going to start interviewing all these guys that are 500 coaches at SEC schools or offensive coordinators at SEC schools. No, let's just go with a guy that's proven he can win in the conference, that's got kind of this, I'm not going to say young philosophy, but a newer philosophy. And we're going to get fun. We're going to throw the ball. Because that, whatever we were doing with Adazio, for millions of reasons, wasn't working. So let's have some fun. Let's get that guy in. And he, I'm sure Joe knew Jay Norvell's situation at Nevada. Nevada won't go, you know, for whatever reason, they don't have the money, okay. They can't go all in on football. They can't do what CSU did with Canvas Stadium. Well, okay, Swami, but do you commit to Joe being your AD based on hope and ignore the faults? Well, you ignore the fault. Let me answer that on the inside, because that's a good question. Let's talk about that next. Here's why. Texter also says, why not wait to see how Norvell pans out? Here's why they're not, and I'll tell you why on the other side. 49 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We're just getting pumped up. I told James, I said, I want music that you would get pumped up to. That's what I want today. So, James, you're doing some good work back there, my friend, because it's football season. This is the beautiful time. August is a wonderful time of year. But let me tell you why today is an amazing day. And I got to answer some questions on the other side. It's my wonderful wife of 10 years marriage, Brittany. It is her birthday today. I think she just turned 26. No, but close, probably. She is fantastic. She is the best wife I could possibly ask for. And no, a lot of comments on my Facebook page like, you married up, my friend. And that is not just a saying. There's no question about it. So couldn't be happier with that one today. We'll have a lot of fun tonight prepared. So I cannot wait. The little one rocking and rolling. Should be a fun Friday night. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Well County Swami text in and said, well, why not just wait and see if this Jay Norvell thing works out before you sign Joe Parker to an extension. Well, here's the thing. You believe that Joe Parker is going to be the guy to lead you into the new era. With all the conference realignment, with all of this stuff happening, putting your best foot forward, and I know I say that a lot, but there's real meaning to it. Can you make CSU an attractive enough school to ultimately draw enough fans, to ultimately gain enough money to make our program attractive, potentially, to a Power 5 conference situation? Some believe that, some don't. That's why they signed him, though. That's why this deal happened. You know, he's done a good job of, I think, of covering his mistakes. You know, he didn't handle the Eustachy thing well. He came out of that ripping and roaring, man. I mean, it was bad for him. It's like a pitcher, Jay. Here's something I'll give you an analogy. It's a pitcher going to the mound with three dudes on base and no outs, and it's looking bad, and it's looking like all hell's about to break loose, and somehow he gets out of it, throws three strikeouts in a row. That's kind of what Joe Parker did when he was in between a rock and a hard place with Larry Eustachy. Kind of got out of it. Not that it wasn't, you know, maybe there were questions unanswered or whatever, but did get out of it and then brought Nico Medved in. Adazio, maybe not bases loaded in that case, but you had a runner on third and no outs, and you're feeling pretty worried about it, and he gets out of that situation too by bringing Jay Norvell in. So to answer your question, why not wait to see how Norvell pans out? Do you ignore his faults? You don't ignore his faults, but right now the trajectory is going up. Now's the time to move. Bobo's trajectory wasn't really going up when the extension happened. He was kind of 7-6, 7-6. Oh, let's sign him again, 7-6. Joe Parker's trajectory has been on the up and up. You know, the Olympic programs are doing great. Basketball's on the right track. And you believe that Jay Norvell is going to get this thing on the right track. So right now, the stock is really high. You buy that stock if you're a if you're a CSU fan. You're buying the Joe Parker stuff. All right, second hour coming up next. We will talk to athletic director Joe Parker from Colorado State. Don't go anywhere. The whole show continues. We'll be right back live from the Allo Communications Studios.